We are going to get started with our city council work session for Tuesday, June 6th. Just have one big issue on and then the routine stuff after that. We're going to start with a proposed geographic information system for the software piece of it. Mark is here, I'm sure, to address the council at least at the start.
Sort of. We're going to bring up somebody way smarter than me to do that. Good evening, Mayor and council members. From our last council meeting, this item was before you. There was some additional follow-up, and so instead of listening to me talk, our new GIS specialist, Emily, is here to provide you a much more intelligent presentation.
The screens here aren't.
Yeah, I don't mess with them. I have no idea what's going on, so look behind you.
Okay. All right.
Unless Chris knows. You know why the monitors aren't on the dais stuff? We tried pushing buttons earlier. Okay. Your only hope. No pressure.
All right. Meanwhile, we'll get.
Meanwhile,
so
direct your attention to the screens behind you.
So this is your new person. You want
to? This is Emily. Yeah, this is Emily Schneider, formerly of a county that will be nameless, but she's been here about 3 weeks. So please be nice.
Thank you.
we will.
With that, take it away, Emily, and just ignore Chris.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Good evening, Mr. Mayor and council members. As Mark said, my name is Emily Schneider, and I'm the new GIS specialist for the city. Today, I am presenting on Logis's GIS services for the city. To start off with, what is GIS? GIS stands for Geographic Information Systems, and is basically a way to visualize spatial data. As you can see on the left, it gives an example of our world, the real world, and on the right, a GIS world model, which separates the data into layers. You can see imagery, elevation, transportation, the list goes on. On this slide, we have a screen grab of our current GIS mapping system that is provided by iWater called InfraMap. And InfraMap displays all of our public works data, including sewer lines, irrigation lines, water lines, hydrant locations, and other data like address points and parcels. This is an example of a record drawing that is also tied to our GIS data. It's tied to our data by the file path location, and workers in the office and out on the field are able to access this data as well. InfraMap and iWater are primarily used by our utilities division. And with going with Logis, GIS would be able to be expanded to other public works divisions, city departments, and the public. The reason that we are going with Logis is because of a certain problem. The problem being that our current vendor, iWater, is going to a cellular-only cloud-based storage system. That is an issue because if our internet would go down, if the cell towers go down, if we have no cellular data available, then we are not able to access any of our GIS data, which could be a huge problem. This graphic shows some of the disadvantages of using a cloud-based server system. To start with, there is serious challenge of information theft. Cybersecurity attacks could be a problem as well due to the fact that our data is held on a server via the internet. To touch on it again, network connectivity and dependency and downtime could play a huge issue because if we do not have that connection, then we cannot access our critical GIS data. With the lack of the internet with the internet holding our GIS data, we also have to run our remote servers and we could have limited control in our data. And if we don't have that great relationship with a vendor, then it might have issues creating that data migration into a new system. So this is the solution for not choosing iWater and going with that cloud-based server system is integrating with Logis to help with the GIS support. This is crucial because Logis does not use a cloud-based system. Logis is the only consultant in the area that is hosting servers on an in-network or hosted on local machines. That being said, the system can work offline if needed. If we would lose cellular connection, worst case scenario, if some weather-related natural disaster would happen, we can still have access to our data. Logis also has a backup of data as well, The city also uses LOGIS for other things, so we could integrate with other city databases. And LOGIS is an expertise in GIS, so it would provide staff support if needed. Also, again, with going with LOGIS, we could do a lot more with GIS, including making information more accessible to the general public. Bringing this graphic back up, LOGIS is able to mitigate all of these problems. Starting with the vulnerability to attacks, we won't have that issue because our data won't be stored on internet servers. It'll be stored locally. The network connectivity and the downtime will not be an issue as well because we still have the availability and the accessibility to access our data. We already have built a great professional relationship with LOGIS for other services with the city, and we'll have more control of our data since it's hosted locally. This graphic represents the city as an organization as a whole and shows how LOGIS will manage and take care of our GIS systems. So I am the little circle that says ArcGIS for desktop users. I will be editing the data, managing the data, producing maps for the city. On top, the big circle is the city staff and the general public who are accessing any web applications that are created, any maps that are created, anything having to do with GIS. LOGIS, on the other hand, will be covering and managing, maintaining, updating everything that isn't in those two circles. They will be maintaining our web servers, our web adapters, our GIS servers, our data servers, making sure that all of our servers and databases are up to date. So going forward with LOGIS, the cost. In 2023, it'll be around $56,000, and in 2024, it'll be just under $68,000. The funding will come through our utility funds, just like the current system. Overall, LOGIS will manage our local servers and geodatabases and will mitigate the problem of using cloud-based data storage. LOGIS will also help us create an up-to-date GIS data standard fieldwork map for our field workers to use. And LOGIS will help the city expand GIS beyond utilities and public works, but to become more accessible to all city departments and the public. Any questions?
Forrest?
Thank you very much, Emily. I really appreciate you coming and talking to us about this, especially third week on the job. I can only imagine like how kind of, or maybe not, maybe it's not nerve wracking, but I appreciate it nonetheless. So I have a couple of questions. Question number one is, you said earlier that everything is stored locally. It's never on the internet. How does LOGIS end up with the information? How does that work? So everything's stored locally here in not servers, but like a hard drive battery.
So I'll field that one. So our network is on the LOGIS network. So even though it's fiber connected back to LOGIS Hub in Golden Valley, we are still part of that closed loop system.
So you have dedicated fiber running from here to LOGIS. It is not on the internet at all.
It goes through LOGIS firewalls to then.
So it's on the internet, but it's behind the server.
It's within LOGIS's server. Exactly.
Correct. So it's still on the internet. It's still vulnerable to attacks. It's just that we're trusting LOGIS's security.
Correct. So I would say it's connected, but it's within the LOGIS, so it's behind LOGIS firewalls.
Right, just like AWS would be against the AWS firewall.
Except that for there, you'd have to leave the LOGIS network to connect to that stuff.
Right, it's just keeping it in, it's essentially saying we're doing LOGIS for hosting instead of another company. It's still the internet, it's just LOGIS is hosting.
I'll let you feel the one if you have more to add.
Yeah, so currently we have our data on a SQL server. And with the SQL server, we don't actually have to have the connection to the internet. So,
but for this, we will, right? Because it's going to Golden Valley. How is it getting there other than...
So right now, we're within the LOGIS network. This is on here. So if we do ARC AOL, we would have to leave the LOGIS network to connect to ARC Online. That's the difference. And so there's that the firewall system that LOGIS provides for our current IT security, that this stuff would still be behind.
It's still on the internet though, because it's still interfacing with ArcGIS Online. So it's still ending up there with just going through LOGIS, correct?
I believe no, because they have their own servers.
Okay.
ArcGIS Online and the servers are two different entities. You can get a connection to the server with ArcGIS or the SDE or an enterprise geodatabase, but it's a different entity.
Okay. So I guess kind of just going back, my main concern here is it's $70,000 for my understanding. The biggest benefit here is the hosting of the data. The fact that it's just in Golden Valley, like you said in the previous example, if there's a disaster, we can drive down there and grab hard drives. That seems like that's the biggest competitive advantage, but $70,000 is a lot of money for this service. Have you reached out to Esri Enterprise? Because I spoke with a couple of colleagues with very big, like that have lots of data, and you know, they recognize that just storing this on the cloud is an issue. You need to have a local backup. You need to have something that you control. However, Esri makes this really easy. Esri's enterprise licensure, if you speak with them, they'll run a program through their marketplace and be able to have it just automatically taken down through like a Python script that they'll offer. And that's what most other agencies that I've spoken to do. And then you're not spending $70,000 a year on essentially backup hosting or hosting that's very secure and just down in Golden Valley, and it'd be actually stored maybe here or something like that. I also saw that their costs just went up over $2,000 from this year to next year. But so I don't really look at this as just $70,000. I'm looking at this as we're locking in to a system, and you know, this is our point to say, well, is this what we want to do? Because when it comes before us again, it's like we're already in it. So this is kind of, that's why I'm asking so many questions. I want to make sure that this is really the best and most economical option. I mean, I'm sure we've all seen lots of comments from our residents about the cost of water and utility rates. People are very concerned about this. And so I'm just worried about tying us to a system that we don't necessarily control and that I don't feel has the benefits that the cost brings.
So I would say, first of all, it's not just the offset, right? It's the staff support for web development and supporting Emily as she moves in this position. It is some of that just server management and stuff too, and just handling all that. And then I think the other big benefit is just because we work with them so closely, there's some other integrations that can happen that'll improve mapping. For example, we use PIMS for permitting, and so we can now map that where we can't now because it's two different systems and they don't talk. And so I think there's a number of other benefits beyond just data storage that I think are definitely appealing part of this. I mean, to your point of going with Logis, yeah, I mean, this is a decision point. However, it's a decision. I mean, no matter what you do, it's a decision point, right? Even if you went with Esri Direct, that's still a decision point. So that is the nature of the beast with where we are at right now.
Right. And I guess it's just, I've talked to a number of colleagues who are much smarter than myself, and they all seemed quite surprised at this cost for this amount of hosting.
It's not just the hosting.
Right. But also like the support of the hosting. In addition to that, I guess, because last time you brought this, you said, you know, part of it is using the apps and all of that. I mean, are you very familiar with the ArcGIS Online system, Emily?
Yes, I have used that in my professional background. However, in my 3 weeks of experience here, I have realized that ArcGIS has been managed for 26 years by one person. And for the data standard across Minnesota, we are quite behind with our applications, everything being used. We barely even use ArcGIS Online or Portal here. That being said, using Logis would also help us, one, integrate our data to be updated from going from ArcMap to ArcPro, using all of the web applications and features on ArcGIS Online, and getting us up to speed and helping out and basically mitigating the time as well to create these applications for all of our field workers to use.
No, and I understand the initial point where it's like, I can only imagine what our geodatabases look like based off of us using that old app. And so it'd be like a very daunting task. But are they making applications for us, like non-Esri applications for us?
Mm-hmm. They do have some that they already built for some of the other cities that we would now slide in.
Okay, so that's part of it too. Correct. Like that to me seems more like a competitive advantage than, Okay, so they are building those applications because, I mean, the cost for them to help us do that migration is in that first year. And I would support something like that. It's really hard for me to swallow $70,000, which could be like a whole nother GIS specialist almost. And
no.
Like, or we could pay somebody more. It seems like an awful lot of money for a hosting system and support that, from my understanding, is not economical. And I'll just leave it at that. And thank you for your time.
All right. Any other questions? Go ahead.
So early on in your presentation, you showed a map of the various kind of like the water systems. Is that what you're working with now? Is that pretty much the imagery that
this one?
No. I think it was after this. That one. Yeah. Is that the typical standard that you're working with now out in the field?
Sorry, I missed that question. What was that? I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. So is this the information that you're using out in the field?
So what we can do is we link back to this and they can zoom in because there's specific detailed information on here. For example, maybe a measurement to something. So this is really used to verify what's usually mapped is how that works right now.
Okay. But this is the old system, correct?
This is basically, I would consider this reference data that's included data that we can pull up. So for example, if a resident calls and says, hey, when was my water service installed? We can literally click on it and pull the card up that was filled out in 1965 when their water service was installed.
All right.
So that's really just kind of that backup data.
And so this would be included in the LOGIS system that you're using.
Yeah, so correct. So all this information is still behind. It's how our employees have access to it and then track things like maintenance of jetting sewers and stuff like that.
So again, it would go back to that original slide where you showed like the layers or whatever. This would be part of those layers that they'd be using out in the field, correct?
It's basically, so the file path is connected to the GIS data. So if they're clicking on a certain sewer line or a water line, they can pull up all of this reference data, whether this is a record drawing or the as-builds or different files that have happened throughout the history of the city.
Okay. It would also probably tell you the materials used in some cases, I guess, or? Yep, correct. Right. Okay, very good.
Any other questions relating to this? All right.
So just a quick housekeeping item. Our plan is not to do this presentation again, just have the item before you at the council meeting. Does that work? Are there any questions?
It works.
Are we okay with that process?
Anything else? I'm fine.
That's fine by me.
Okay. So.
And just to be clear, you didn't reach out to Esri Enterprise to see what they offered or anything?
We've been in conversations with them, but our focus is really to try to keep it in-house because we don't want to have to run the risk of having, we don't have to manage servers or anything like that or have the download stuff. And I think the other thing too is just as we alluded to that security of going outside the network is also a concern as we touched on with the cyber. And so keeping within the LOGIS family is, there's a peace of mind that comes with that as well.
Right. I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
What does our current vendor say? Like, do they have a response to mitigate the issues that were raised with going to the cloud? Like, what do they say to that?
They're going cloud-based.
So, like, with our current vendor?
Yeah, the current vendor. Obviously, there's
concern. Well, this is what we're doing is kind of the response. We've been talking to them for 2 years of like, hey, this risk is too much. We need to have something remote. And finally, this January, they're like, yeah, we're not exploring that.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of, so we were trying.
Okay.
And they're just like, yep, we're done.
Got it. And so most consultants, I think I read in here, are going to the cloud, correct?
Correct.
Most cities are just taking on that risk and they're okay with it?
They handle it in a variety of ways how they do it, right? So there's, 10 cities that are part of LOGIS. I think some cities probably have their own servers and some probably have some other arrangement with Esri generally.
Okay.
Yeah, from what I talked about 10 different agencies, and most of them, what they do is they use Esri's cloud or cloud service for the convenience. And then they also run a script or they buy a service that helps them kind of essentially just download their data onto backups that they already have and manage. And so apparently, I guess we don't have backups that we already.
Well, I mean, yeah, everything you download is, you have to save it somewhere. and it's
all right. Any other questions? We're 7 o'clock. We probably gonna have to continue this if you have any more questions. No more questions, so we will continue real quick. We'll go right after the council meeting and do the routine stuff. But at this point, we're closing the council meeting, the work session, and we'll continue it after the council meeting. If you don't mind, we're going to roll right back into the work session. And let's start with the question that Adam posed.
I don't know a lot.
So we're into the work session. We're going to go right into the question that Adam asked.
Okay.
Yeah, to be clear, the staff would not have an additional day off other than if they wanted to take time off, which the vast majority of the staff, I think we only have the bare minimum, 2 or 3 staff members in City Hall, not scheduled out that day. So the question was, can we close City Hall, close it to the public? And so it would be, staff would be able, allowed to take that day. Then the next day is the actual holiday. Or they could work. There's some people who have chose not to take the day off and they'd be able to work on that Monday when the door's closed.
Okay, just for my clarification. So you're asking if you could have the City Hall closed to the public, but if people decided that they still wanted to work on the 3rd in the office, they could come in and
not have to worry about lunches and
right, or covering the front desk or something like that,
right.
I think that's how we've handled it in the past when it's been day like that close to the holiday. It's been fine, and then people can decide if they want to take the 3rd as day off or whatever. If they decide that they're not going to come to work, that's fine too. I just think it's good to have the office, if you're going to be closed. I don't think there would be much business on the 3rd, in terms of the city itself. And then we do have a permitting processes online. I think most of the time it's taken care of. I don't think there's a lot of contractors that would, be looking to be getting a permit on the 3rd anyway. So I don't see it as an issue personally. I think that what you're proposing is fine, and I would think that to be okay.
Any other comments? All right. That has kind of been tradition to do that, so we're good with that.
Oh, what's that? No, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right.
Well,
constituent issues. We have none from what I hear.
None from my end.
Any new to the council?
One thing, just as a reminder, June 15th is the next JASB report open house. It's actually in Brooklyn Center. So that information is on our website. If anybody's interested in that, that was one item to follow up on. And as we noted before, the Passaic Road station area open house is on the 22nd as well, after the open house or after the ribbon cutting.
Okay. All right. Anything? Go ahead, Forrest.
Has the city written its and submitted its?
We've not submitted it yet, so we'll be doing that over the next several days.
Okay.
This week to get those in by the deadline.
Okay. Could that be shared when you have it?
Yes.
Publicly submitted.
Get that to the council.
Sweet.
Okay. Anything else for constituents?
I was out on the garage day, the citywide garage sale day on Friday, and it was hopping all over, which was great. And I did hear a number of constituent concerns, but nothing really new. The ones I heard were similar ones about what's happening to all the trees. There's no trees on this block. They were all cut down and nobody's planting more ones. And then stop signs and sirens as well. So,
John?
I have a question. If the new fire engine is going to be at the airport open house, is that going to be brought out?
Most probably, yes.
Oh, yes. That's a yes. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Because, I got a tour of the new fire engine, and it's kind of given me a new insight to looking at fire trucks. I'm out in other cities and I see their trucks and how they have things stored on the trucks and stuff like that, so I think it's kind of cool to be able to
be able to present it to our citizens, and it'd be really great if it was out there. So thank you.
Will the completion of the first one be outfitted by then with the tools?
It's mostly outfitted now.
Okay. Okay. Cool. Thank you.
Yes, the first truck is outfitted. Just about everything is on it at this point, except for a couple of things that we're waiting for. The hose is on it and the power tools. And so just about everything. So it should be something to look at.
Now, I heard a rumor. Straight stream? Is that right?
That is true.
Oh, my gosh.
On the 2.5-inch crosslathe, there is a smoothbore nozzle.
Okay. I know it'll deliver more water, but same knockdown or more, huh?
More knockdown. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's a smoothbore nozzle, puts a lot more GPM at a lower pressure, so it's more maneuverable.
You're not.
Yeah, so for all the pressure, there's always reaction, and there's less reaction with that nozzle. So
I suppose that would make those larger hand lines a little more controllable.
A little bit.
Those are out of hand, no pun intended.
Can someone translate what was just
there's different diameters of hand lines, and the bigger ones when you don't have a straight bore, you have they're called what, the old ones,
fog nozzles,
and they add more air in, and the philosophy is that it turns to steam faster, so it's going to shut down a fire faster. But it's always going back and forth, and here we are going back to straight again. So what?
Oh,
if you want to ask school police questions, you can ask.
Sorry. Work session. We're getting a little punchy. So just so we're clear, I'm pretty sure the police chief just explained away the fire chief.
Yeah.
But I've been on a fire where we had a garage on fire, and we were trying to protect the other house from burning, and there was a lot of pressure to get that air into it. And 5 minutes in, I'm exhausted. I practically have to go to the hospital, and it's that much exertion. So to your point of having something straight bore, not having to build up that pressure, is really, really cool.
And we also dropped the pressures on the 1¾-inch hand lines too, down to 75.
Okay.
So new nozzles.
This is getting too much.
Usually 150, right?
There's 100.
100? Okay.
Do you want to go out to lunch?
I mean, how big's the tank?
It's 750 bigger.
50 gallons.
It's bigger. So anyway, thanks for letting me keep out. Anything else? Let's see. We are on new business.
I have a quick question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Forrest, what do you mean by sirens, that being a concern?
Oh, it was similar to the issue we heard about the residents on 81 and the sirens going by, but it was actually residents on actually a few houses in from Douglas about they suspected police sirens going down Douglas from the police station. And I mean, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, if they're using them, they need them. So yeah, right. but it's a noise.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, when you're in that business district, like by Becker, those sirens echo back and forth as they're coming through town. It's crazy.
Yeah, you hear it at my house.
Yeah. I bet.
The airport.
So
Adam, I have one quick question. Has there been any updates on the Ale Jail permitting? Is that moving forward, or is it still kind of?
It is. Sorry, John, I'm not here to give you the exact details, but that is progressing.
Okay.
They're in the permitting process. So
it's moving, because I remember there was some roadblocks with construction.
It's going to be a CUP that they're going to require.
Okay.
That's going to be required. But that's moving along.
Okay. It's good to hear. That was another question I got at the garage sale.
Ale Jail. Interesting. I like that name.
And hence the sirens.
Yeah.
All right. Any other announcements? No more new business. All right. We're moving on. We're done. Thank you guys. Have a good week.